I have intended, I had intended to try to speak today from the book of Titus, chapter 1, and verse 1, but I'm not going to. That's a wonderful verse, and I hope to preach on that maybe sometime in the future. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. But I just couldn't get focused on it. I had another thing that I thought about preaching on, but my mind has been on the trip that I'm about to take. And so I thought I would just talk to you for a few moments this morning about the trip that I'm about to take, and mainly to refresh, or to talk to you about the first trip that I took to Russia. I've talked to some of you privately and mentioned some things about it, and actually had intended, when Brother Douglas asked me to come over here and preach once a month back in 2018, had intended to take a Sunday sometime and talk about this, but it just never did come about. But I want to try to talk to you a little bit about that today. Just some history, a little bit about the work over there in Russia and what God has done. And I hope that it's honoring to God, and I hope that it's edifying to you, it's instructive to you. And hopefully, I mean, another thing that I would like to accomplish from that is that you would also have a burden, a greater burden, for the people over there and understand kind of what the situation is. About 4 or 5 years ago, I was at a meeting in Alabama. We're staying in a hotel. Brother Herb and I and a friend of mine were all staying in this hotel. And we met that evening. We were, Brother Herb and Brother Jimmy Hamrick and I were talking. And at that time, Brother Herb was planning a trip to India. And he said, would one of you brethren like to accompany me to India? And at that time, which even really now, I just didn't have any burden to go to India. I thank the Lord for that work over there, and I'm going to talk a little bit about mention that again in a moment. But I just didn't have a burden to go back. The other brother did, Brother Jimmy Hamrick, and Brother Jimmy Hamrick went with Brother Herb to Russia, or to India. But I knew that he went to Russia, and I had somewhat, I thought, a burden to go to Russia, but I wasn't sure if it was of the Lord or if it was just curiosity on my part, you know, wanting to go. A friend of mine, then about a year or so later, a friend of mine was talking to me, Brother Philip Green, and Brother Philip told me, he said, we were talking, I don't remember what the subject was, and Brother Philip said, well, I know one thing, if Brother Herb Hatfield's got anything to do with it, you're going to go to Russia with him. And that kind of put me, I thought about it. Later on, I was with Brother Herb at a meeting, and Brother Herb started he kind of hinted around and he tried to corner me, and I got away from him because I just didn't know. I wanted to go, but I just didn't know if it was the Lord. I didn't want to go just because I wanted to go. And later on, not long after that, Brother Herb called me and asked me if I would accompany him to Russia. This was in 2018. And I agreed to go with Brother Herb to Russia. I had prayed about it, and I felt like that the Lord wanted me to go. And so we made preparations to go out. About 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks before we were supposed to leave, I started feeling bad physically. I just felt bad. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I went to the doctor, He tried, I forget what he prescribed for me, but it just didn't help. So I didn't know if I was going to get to go or not. And about a little over a week before we were supposed to leave, I went back to the doctor and I told him, I said, I'm just not feeling well. And he did some blood work on me and he came back and he said, well, according to, he said, this is hard to pinpoint sometimes, but according to the symptoms you have and what it shows on your blood work, it looks like you've got Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And he said, I've got submitted a prescription I'm going to give you for that, and if that's what it is, then you'll start feeling better pretty soon. And I did. Within a couple of days, I started feeling better. So I was thankful for that, that I was able to go. I met Brother Herb at the Memphis airport. We boarded a plane, stopped in Atlanta, had a little bit of layover, had to change planes. And I don't know how many of y'all may have traveled a lot. I don't know, but I'll tell you what, if you get in one of those airports like Atlanta, and you've got to switch planes, you better know what you're doing. I was glad I had Brother Herb with me because he had done this before and I had no idea. I mean, we had to get on this little train and rode for, I don't know, several minutes and we were supposed to get off at a certain gate. And like I said, I'd probably still be in Atlanta, Brother Herb had been with me. But we got over there and we got on that plane and then we flew to LaGuardia Airport in New York City. And we got there and Brother Herb got ill physically. He just was in pain and was just feeling awful. And he told me, he said, Brother Ray, I don't know if I can go on or not. He said, I just don't know. He said, I know one thing, if they know I'm sick, they won't even let me on the plane. And he said, I don't know if I can make it or not. So we sat down there in a little booth, and we went to the Lord in prayer. And after we prayed, Brother Herb, in a few minutes, he said, I'm feeling better. And he got feeling better, and he was feeling better as we got on the plane, and he just kept improving, and by the time we got to Russia, he said, Brother Ray, whatever that was, I don't know what it was, but he said, it's gone. And he said, the Lord just took it. So we were able to go on and finish up with our trip. Got over to Moscow, landed in Moscow, but when you get to Moscow, where we're going, eventually where we're going to go, the main part of our trip is going to be in Siberia. And it was a 5-hour flight from Moscow to Siberia. Well, I was exhausted. I found some chairs in that airport. I hadn't seen any like that before, but they kind of, they're just a plastic chair, but they kind of recline a little bit. And I went to sleep. Boy, I don't know how long I slept, and all of a sudden Brother Herb come up and dragged me. Hurry up, hurry up, we're gonna go. They had changed, and I found out that in Russia they're famous for this. They had changed the gate that we were supposed to board on. And we were near where the gate was that they had told us, but they changed it. And he just happened to hear it on the intercom. And anyway, we got up and we caught a flight and flew on to Siberia to a city called Irkutsk. Pretty large city. And one of the ministers over there works at the airport. He's an aircraft controller. A man named Vladimir. And he met us there, his son met us there at the airport and conducted us further where we were going to go. And we spent the first night in a hotel because we were both just exhausted. If you can imagine how we'd been up for what you can't, you don't get much sleep in an airplane. And we went to a hotel and got rested up. Brother Herb, I tell you, you'll hear me talk a lot about Brother Herb Hatfield. I love Brother Herb. He's a dear brother. We went to bed and we had a little, it wasn't a big place, but there was a place for the bed, and there was another little room. I guess it was kind of a little suite. And I woke up sometime. Brother Herb wasn't in bed. I got up to go to the bathroom, and I went in that room, and Brother Herb had his unpacked all of his luggage and had it scattered all over that room. I said, Brother Herb, what in the world are you doing? He said, well, my wife's supposed to pack some kind of medicine for me, and I can't find it. And I just shook my head. But it was a pleasure to travel with Brother Herb. Brother Herb is a dear brother, and we had a lot of good fellowship. I got to know him a lot better. I called him a few days after we got back, and I said, Brother Herb, I said, I've had several preachers call me since I got back home. And I said, the only question that they had for me was if I straightened you out. Brother Herb said, well, I've had the same questions asked me if I straightened you out. Brother Herb's a dear brother. We may have not very much that we differ on. Nobody agrees on everything, but Brother Herb's a good brother. Well, we spent the first night in the hotel, and the next morning Brother Vladimir picked us up. We drove over about 30 miles to another church. There are four churches in Russia. Now, I want you to try to put this in perspective. The landmass of Russia is about twice the size of the United States. And in that whole big country, there's only four churches. To give you maybe a little perspective on that, years ago, driving the truck back in the 80s, I would go out to Northern California, well, North Central California, really Central, I guess, Central California, load of produce going to either Philadelphia or New York. And that was a 3,000 mile trip. That end of the coast to the other. Russia is four times, or twice that size in land mass. That's why one of the reasons that I have such a burden for those people. We are blessed here in this country. We don't have a lot of Primitive Baptists here, but we are blessed that we have some. And you know, we have opportunity several times a year that we can drive for maybe an hour or 30 minutes or an hour or maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours and go to meetings at other Primitive Baptist churches and stay in contact and so forth in that way. But they don't have that over there. A lot of the people over there don't even have an automobile. Now, they can get on the train and travel, but it's not like it is here. And we just don't have that many people that you can have fellowship with. Well, we were going to go. The two churches are located, as I said, where the plane landed and where the next church is. They're about 30 miles apart, approximately. And then the other two churches are about 4 hours away. That's driving by car. And those two churches are fairly close together, but that's how they're spread out. So we got in the automobile with Brother Bill with Brother LeTavern and Brother Vladimir, Brother Herb and I, and we began our trip to go to the other end where the other churches are. We're going to visit them. And they drive on the right side of the road just like we do here, but most of the automobiles they have are from Europe, and so they got the steering wheel on the right side. And we were on a 2-lane road, and a lot of traffic, and whoever was sitting in the passenger seat in the front seat would be where normally where our steering wheel is. And he would have to tell the driver when it was safe for him to pull out and pass, and they called it the suicide seat. Quite a trip. And they're not bashful about getting out and passing, I tell you. Sometimes I just go up in the seat. But we got to see a lot of the country that way. And we got later on got to see some other places in Russia. There are some beautiful places in Russia. One of the things that impressed me as we were going on this road trip, and you would see little villages off to the side of the road. They wouldn't, but most of them wouldn't ride in the road, but they would be, you could see them as you passed by. And Brother Herb, he said something to me that is just, I guess, implanted in my brain, so to speak. He said, "Brother Ray, every time that I pass by one of those villages, I wonder if God has some of his elect in those villages." And that's something to think about. Does God have some of his elect in those villages? And I'd like to think that. And that's why that we need to preach the gospel over there. We got on the other end of the trip, we had supper with Brother Beal and his wife, and went to the services at the church that he pastored there on Saturday. I'll tell you a little bit, I didn't find this out till later, but I'll tell you a little bit about Brother Beal. Brother Beal, all of these men, I guess I kind of give you an idea of how those churches came to be. They should have said this at first, but back about around the year 2003 or 4, contact was made with, I don't know if it was Brother Zach or Brother Jeff Harris or Brother Herb or Brother David Pye. But somehow or another, somebody from Russia got in contact with those preachers over here and were interested in hearing more about the Friendly Baptist. Well, Brother Herb, Brother David Pyle, Brother Zach Guess, and Brother Jeff Harris went over to Russia and met with some of the brethren over there. These men had come out of what they call Union Baptist, which is very similar to, I guess, somewhat similar to Southern Baptist that we have here in this country. Brother Beal, pastor of the church, and for his birthday, the church gave him a book. The book was written by a man named Thomas Boston. Some of you may be familiar with that name. Thomas Boston was one of the old Puritans in England. And he believed in the doctrine of grace. And when Brother Beal read that book, the Lord used that book to show him the truth of God's sovereign grace. And that's how he came to see the doctrine of grace. And all of those men over there had kind of similar experiences. Another preacher that lived up near Brother Beal, I asked him later, this is all through an interpreter, how he came to understand the doctrine of grace. He said, "Well, I knew Brother Beal, he was a friend of mine, and I heard that he was preaching some strange doctrines. And he said, I thought I needed to go straighten him out. But he said, when I went and talked to him about these things, the Lord showed me what he also showed Brother Beal." Any of you, and most of you, a lot of you I know, have came out of another school of thought and have come to understand the doctrine of grace. That is, that salvation is all of grace. And even those that have been brought up among primitive Baptists, at some point in time, God has made that real to you. And you know how precious it is when you come to see that salvation is all of grace, from first to last. I've stated this here before. Most of you have heard me say it, but one of the hardest things for me to ever come to understand was that I was saved, but I didn't have one thing to do. God did it all. I never would have sought God in my dead, alien, sinful condition. I never could have sought God if God hadn't sought me first. And He sought me because He knew me. And He knew me and loved me before the world ever began. God knew me, and He knows His people. And He intends. God is a God of purpose. And God purposes to save His people. Brother Bill came to see that. Brother Geckle came to see that. His brother over there came to see that. I found out, too, about Brother Bill. He is very convicted. They had kind of a custom over there that if you had a son, you were a member of the church, and you had a son, when he got to be a certain age, about, I don't know, 16 or 18 year old, he'd join the church and be baptized. Well, they had one of these, I guess, young men, and came time they wanted Brother Bill to baptize him, but Brother Bill didn't see any repentance in him. He didn't see any evidence that he had been born again by the Spirit of God. And he wouldn't baptize him. They physically, in the congregation, in a church meeting, they physically beat Brother Beal up. They got him down and beat him. His wife thought he was going to die. Now, when I preached on the doctrine of grace and so forth, I've had people that didn't like what I preached. I've had people say things to me, but I haven't had that happen to me yet. But anyway, that kind of gives you an idea of what these people have somewhat gone through. Now, they came out of the Union Baptist, and one of the men that was kind of, maybe if some any of you are have come out of Southern Baptist and know anything about them, well, kind of would be similar to maybe a associational missionary. And he has tried and is still trying to tear at those brethren. He has the names and addresses of their church members. He's constantly contacting them, telling them they need to get away from the primitive Baptists, so forth and so on. They still are suffering from a lot of things like that. But anyway, we had a meeting there at that Saturday at Brother Bill's congregation that he pastored. Now, their church buildings over there, they don't call them church houses. They call them house of prayer. You hear them talk about going somewhere, we're going to the house of prayer. I kind of like that. That's a pretty good name for a church building. But they built them with what we would call, I guess, the sanctuary downstairs, and the kitchen is upstairs. That's where they have the kitchen fellowship area. And when we were there, Brother Bill, they had the bottom part of their church house finished, but they were still working on the upper part. But they had it enough that we could go up there and eat. They still didn't have indoor plumbing. There were a couple of older women that came in that morning as we were meeting to worship. One of them was stooped over, very aged woman. And I thought to myself, I had the steep stairs going up to, I thought surely that they're going to bring her food down to her. But when we got dismissed the worship service and went upstairs, she was there. She made that foot stairs. I found this out later from Brother Bill. two of those older women had lived through the Soviet occupation or reign or whatever you would call it there in Russia. They had taken in that town, now this, I'm not sure, I think these women may have been alive at that time. I know the first time that they were, that Brother Zach and them went over there, Brother Zach, well, I'll tell you what he told me, and I think, but anyway, they were five preachers in that area. The soldiers came in to that town, took those five preachers up on the city square, and shot them. They just killed them. Brother Zach said when he was there that he met an old lady that was alive during that time, that she had taken the children of one of those pastors and had raised them. But these two, Brother Bill was telling me later, of course this is all through an interpreter, that those two older women that I saw, that they used to contact one another, other women, and they would meet to worship. But they had to hide out when they did. It wasn't legal for them to meet and worship. And they would go out, they would determine a place and a time, and they'd meet out in the woods. And they couldn't meet for very long, but they'd meet to worship the Lord. And they had a story, the story they were going to tell if they were found out that they were there looking for the cat. I didn't know that when I preached there, but I felt about that tall when I found out that I'd been in the presence of somebody that had suffered persecution that way. Another lady that we met down at Brother Bill's church after the Brother Roger was asking me this morning if we got to talk to any of the people through an interpreter, you know, just not just the preachers, but to the church members. And we did. After lunch, we were sitting and talking and through an interpreter. And one lady told us that her hero was her stepfather. She said that he spent 10 years in a Soviet prison because he would not deny that he was a Christian, that he loved Jesus Christ. Spent 10 years in a Soviet prison. The Lord works in mighty, mysterious ways. We came back, that was on a Saturday, we came back on. And by the way, while we were there, I mentioned this, I was about to forget it. Brother Bill. When I preached at the church there where Brother Bill pastors, and I can't pronounce the name of that town, but I preached on, the text was from John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I had a real fancy outline for that sermon. The first point was my sheep. How did they get to be his sheep? They were his, and they had always been his sheep. You know, he told some of the people that were there that were protesting against Christ, he said, the reason that you don't hear my words is because you're not of my sheep. Because he said, my sheep, and they're his sheep because they were given to him by the Father. My sheep hear my voice. That was the second point. And I know them was the third point, and they follow me. That was the fourth point. Anyway, after the service, we took Brother Bill home. He didn't have an automobile, and we took him back to his home. And he told in Russian, I didn't understand, but he wanted us to wait for a minute. He went into his house, and he came out, and he brought me this little thing. I wear it sometimes. It's a picture of a shepherd with his sheep. At one point in time earlier, when he was younger, Brother Bill had been in the military, and I think he said he had been in Germany, and he had gotten this little thing when he was in Germany. Money-wise, it's probably worth 50 cents, maybe. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, it means a lot to me. Every time I see that, wear that, I always remember that. We came back down to the next day, that night, and then the next morning we were worshiped there with Brother McTavern at his church. I told you how big Russia is, and land-wise, how twice the size of the United States. A young man that I met there, I'd heard about him before, named Alexander. Alexander is, I don't know, he's probably in his middle 30s. Very pleasant young man. He's has a physical impairment. He's kind of crippled. He can walk, but he very slowly. Speaks good English. He learned to speak English by watching American movies, he says. But he speaks real good English. And he translated for some over there, and he's going to do the translating for us this time when we go. Brother Alexander's parents were communists. Some point in time, and I guess when he was young or maybe before he was born, somebody gave his parents a copy of the New Testament. They didn't hear anything about it. They just, I guess, stuck it off somewhere. When Alexander was about 12, 13 years old, he found that there in the home, and he read it. And he read it twice. And he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through reading that New Testament. I tell you this whole story about him, and really about anybody, but it just shows you the sovereign grace of God. Somebody gave that New Testament to somebody that didn't even want it. And years later, their son found it and came to know the Lord through reading the New Testament. Well, he didn't know any Christians. The first group that he made contact with and were people of the charismatic order. He was with them for a while. He came to understand that that was just not according to Scripture. And then he met and became acquainted with what we call the Union Baptist, and he was with them for a while, but he, in his study of the Scripture, he just knew that that was not the teaching of the Scripture. They were not worshiping according to the Word of God. They were not preaching the Word of God, the true gospel. And through the, I guess it was through sermon audio, he made contact with Herb Hatfield. He began to listen to Brother Herb's preaching, and he said, "That's the truth. That's what I believe. That's the way I want to worship." And he contacted Brother Herb through email. Now here once again, a country the size of Russia, four Primitive Baptist churches in the whole country, and this young man lived about 15 miles away from one of those churches. Now that's just wonderful how God works in his people's lives. And the year before, I went for Brother Herb in 2018, and 2017 Brother Herb baptized Alexander, and he's a member of the church there now where Brother Tavern is. And is even preaching some. He's not been ordained, but he does when, especially when Brother LeTavern has to be gone, then Brother Alexander leads the service. I'll tell you a little bit. I said I was going to talk to you a little bit about Russia sometime. Here's a book that Brother Zach Guest wrote, called The Undeniable Doctrinal Truths that Primitive Baptists Believe. Y'all probably heard the story, and Brother Tommy and Sister Lee can tell it a lot better than I can. But that's the book that Sister Lee gave to Brother Goodman that night. And when Brother Gunner read that, he said, that's the truth. And he wanted to meet Brother Zach Gass. And when he met Brother Zach, he told him, Brother Zach, he wanted to come to Russia. I mean, to India. And Brother Zach didn't really want to go to India at that time. As a result of that, there are, I think, around 40 churches, Friends of Baptist churches now in India. Well, Sergei Matsina, y'all remember him, he's been here. Now, he's one of the preachers over there, but he doesn't live in Siberia. I keep saying down, I don't know if it's down or up, I need to look on my mouth. But Brother Alexander translated this book into Russian. Brother Sergei found a place over there that would print this book for, I think it was for 100 copies. It was going to amount to about $3 a book. And for 200 copies, I think they were going to do it for $2 a book, which is a lot less than what we get done for over here. But they've had some of those books printed up. Brother Alexander has translated some other things. The Lord really used him in the work over there. We met, like I said, that Sunday morning with Brother Le Tavern. We came back on Sunday night and met with the church. There were Brother Vladimir pastors. And then we began on Monday, and all of the preachers came to that church, and that's what we're going to do this time. They do this twice a year. They met together to have, they call it a conference, but we would have a meeting. We call it a meeting. And it's a time of fellowship and a time of encouragement, time of learning. Brother Herb and I preached. I think during those 2 days, I probably preached about 5 times. Brother Herb preached about 6 times, I think. And preached through an interpreter. And that is very awkward, to preach through an interpreter. Because you say a sentence, and you got to wait for the interpreter to repeat to the people what you said, and then you say another sentence, and it's very awkward. But I was thankful to be able to do that and to preach to those brethren. They were so receptive to the Word of God. One of the things that has burdened me about the work in Russia, Brother Herb also, I rejoice in the work in India. I greatly rejoice in it. And God has just, like I said, within a matter of about 15 years, 40-something churches. But so far, the Lord hadn't worked that way in Russia. They haven't had any growth. All of the poor churches, and they're just small congregations, like most of our churches are here in America. The first sermon that I preached to them over there, and I felt the burden to preach this when we had our conference and all the ministers were there, is I preached from the second chapter of the book of Acts, of how that they that gladly received the word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And I encouraged those brethren, this was impressed upon me, I said, you've got a wonderful opportunity because those brethren are united in doctrine. I wish at one time, years ago it was the case, but I wish the Primitive Baptists in America were united in doctrine. It's not anything that I'm ashamed of it almost. But there's a lot of people, a lot of churches that are called Primitive Baptist that I wouldn't be welcome in because of what I preach. So I told them they had a wonderful opportunity because they were united in doctrine. And I said, you're not fussing and fighting among yourselves. How many church splits have there been over little pity, little nothings? And churches have split and churches have been divided over little nothings. I tell you, we're famous. We're really famous for the way we get along. I'll tell you kind of a funny story, but it illustrates part. Some of you may have heard it. The story was told about a man that had been stranded on a desert island, been there for years, and finally a ship that was passing by saw him, and they came to rescue him. When the captain of the ship came on land, he asked the man, he said, how many people are here with you? He said, it's just me. He said, well, I see three houses here. He said, well, I live in that center house. And I worship in the house on the right. He said, what about the other house? He said, I used to worship there, but we had split. He said, I'm a Primitive Baptist. Well, that's just about how it is with Primitive Baptists. They split over about anything. But those brethren are united in their doctrine. They're united in their spirit. And I can see the great potential that is there in that place. Now you might ask, well, why do we still go back there and visit and so forth? But I know if you read in the Old Testament or the New Testament that when Paul went out and preached at all the different places that he would preach at, he'd always go back. He was continually going back to encourage them and so forth. And that's why that we go back, to encourage them. I went the first time I went. I spent every dime every penny that was spent I had took out of my own money. Not that I've got a lot of money. Money I took out of our retirement savings. Brother, I wanted to go back, Brother Sergey, when he was over here last year, he said, Brother Ray, I wish you'd come. He said, come in the wintertime. I said, I don't know about the wintertime. It gets cold in Siberia. He said, yes, but it's a lot cheaper because you don't have as many people on the flight. So I asked my wife, I said, would you be okay if I took the money out to go back to Russia? And she said, yeah, if you feel like that you need to go, that's okay. And Brother Herb asked me, and this is what he had asked me back in October, that he was going to go out to Texas and asked me if I would go with him on the trip. He was going to go visit some different churches out there. I just thought he wanted to go with me to help him drive. I told him I'd go. We went to several churches. We both preached. I told Brother Herb, I said, now Brother Herb, you're the one they've invited. I won't go without that. And he said, no, I want you to preach everywhere we go. And we both preached. And after the service, Brother Herb would tell the people about the trip that was planned to Russia. Ask them to pray for me, and if they could help any financially to do so. And I'm still going to use quite a bit of my own money. But not as much as I did when I went the first time. And one thing that I wanted to do, I wanted to be be able to give something to the brethren while we're over there. There's Brother McTavern is still working on his church building. Their buildings are not anything fancy about them, and the men that they do their own work. They don't hire it done. They do nearly all of it anyway, all of it they can. And I want to be able to give something to them to help them, because they're poor people. The unemployment rate over there is probably 25% or more. Brother Sergey, y'all met Brother Sergey. He's been here in last May. He was here. Brother Sergey is a qualified, educated to teach in a university. But he just has to take whatever job he can find to make money. Because he can't. He had at one time, thought he was going to get a job teaching history at the university. And when they found out that he was a Baptist, they told him they couldn't use it. I thank Olin and Church for what they have given to help contribute to this trip. And other people that have given. And I'm thankful that I'm going to be able to not only have my ticket paid for, and that's really the only thing that I've taken out of the money that has been contributed just to pay for my ticket and Brother James Taylor. But we're going to have some money to give to the brethren over there to help them and encourage them to get Brother the tavern finish his church building. And I know that'll be an encouragement to them. But I thank all of y'all for your help, for your prayers, and I just ask that you really pray for us while we're gone. I'm so thankful for Brother James Taylor. I didn't mention him, Brother James, when he found out that I was going. He expressed an interest to go, and I'm so thankful that he did. I think it's going to be more like I'm going with him than he's going with me. But I just hope that you can appreciate the brethren over there. Pray for them. Pray that God would increase the numbers. That more people would be brought in to the church. If God has his elect people in Russia, that they would be brought into the churches over there and that more churches would be established. I thank you for the time. I know it's kind of an odd presentation, but I hope that God is glorified in that, and I hope that you're instructed in it. If you may be more to pray for us.